In a world full of rush and hurry, it's so important to set aside time to just be still. To reconnect that vital relationship with a God who loves and wants to be close to you. So sit back and settle in for the next few minutes. And welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello friends, and welcome back to Common Prayer. This is Kevin, and I am glad to be with you today. Well, today we actually come to a sort of climax of a text, kind of the climax of our faith. We are in, if you've been reading along with us in our scripture reading plan, we are in the final two chapters of Mark, Mark 15 and Mark 16 tomorrow. And these two texts, they detail really, again, the height, the climax of our faith story. It's the crucifixion of Jesus today, and then tomorrow, the resurrection story of Jesus as well. But before we jump in, which I'm excited to get to those texts today, I want to just take a moment, as we do, to pause in silence and allow our minds and our hearts to recenter on the presence of Jesus. Gosh, I don't know about you, but man, this week, it just seems like my heart just in my mind just took off 1,000 miles an hour. And for whatever reason, I just got caught up in the hurry and the busyness this week. And so it'll be good, I know, for me and hopefully for you to just still ourselves before we encounter such a powerful text today. So why don't we do that? Why don't we just begin in silence with this breath prayer, which I invite you to join in me in. Join with me. And so slow down, and with the cadence of your breath, maybe you just repeat this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, you are here, and so am I. Let's do that for 1 minute. Our scripture reading for today comes from a few different places in Mark chapter 15. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5, 16 through 20, and 33 through 39. It says this: Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things, and so again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Verse 16. The soldiers led Jesus away to the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his clothes on him, and they led him to be crucified. Verse 33. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." mean, I think it goes without saying that, again, this whole text, this whole chapter is worth reading and rereading and praying through and meditating on. But this, for the sake of our focus today, I really had to narrow down the text that we were looking at. And you know, as I was reading this familiar story, I was drawn to the contrast of Jesus' presence within this chapter with the presence and the chaos of all that's going on around him. I mean, in some ways you see this noise, this hurry, this bustle, this chaos, and then when you get to Jesus, you get almost silence, almost nothingness. I mean, think of the first section that we looked at, which was verses 1 through 5. You know, you see this confrontation between Pilate and Jesus, and Pilate is challenging this claim that Jesus is in fact king. It's this sort of political power and authority struggle. And you see Pilate, you know, peppering him with questions, "Aren't you king of the Jews?" And Jesus' response just seems so subtle. He says, "You have said so." Doesn't fight, doesn't enter into an argument, doesn't debate, but just simply, "You have said so." And then we get further on, and it moves from the power, the political power struggle of Pilate and Jesus, to then the religious elites. And then you see this struggle of religious power when you see in verse 3, it says the chief priests accused him of many things. You see them just, I imagine, this chanting and yelling of accusation after accusation at Jesus. And then Pilate's so confused, he says, "You know, aren't you going to answer? Aren't you going to fight against us? Aren't you going to do something?" And it says, but Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. I mean, again, envision the scene. We get down to verse 16, the second text, and you see the same. You see the soldiers gathered around in the praetorium that would have been this loud place with all sorts of activity, and you see the soldiers just hurling insults at Jesus, mocking him, throwing a robe on, twisting a crown of thorns together, parading him as some king to which they mock. Little did they know that he was in fact king. But you see this chaos, and Jesus is yet again silent, still quiet amongst all of this chaos. And then finally, the last text, the story of the death of Jesus. You see all of this. You see the creation itself, darkness coming over the sky in the middle of the day. You see, again, this image of just sheer kind of terror and chaos in the world. And you do hear Jesus cry out here, but it's something so unexpected. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's the sort of depth of sorrow. He's not again fighting. He's not again, you know, putting up some sort of battle against the forces, the powers, whatever it is, but rather he is giving in to it. He is silent before it. And you hear that just subtle, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then I love the final confession at the end, right? After watching the world tremble, after watching the world shake, the temple curtain torn in two, you see this man who's watching it take place, and he says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." It's this sort of confession that the contrast they had been witnessing between Jesus and the powers that be is so stark that when all of it happens and Jesus breathes his last and the world itself kind of curls, it's this shocking realization. I think in some ways the scarcity of his words presents this sort of different type of struggle. It's a sort of battle, but it's not in the way that we understand it. When we think of political and religious struggles and battles, we think of violence and terror and power and you know, all of that. But yet Jesus does things in a different way, a sort of third way, a sort of silence. I think the silence contrasts the chaos because Jesus recognizes that the way out of the chaos is not more chaos. And the same very principle that we'll see tomorrow in the resurrections, it's that by fighting fire with fire, it does not work. By fighting hatred with more hate, it does not work. By fighting darkness with darkness, it does not work. But what Jesus understands is that when he lays his life down, when he gives his life over to death, it is through that act that then brings about life to all of us. And I think this contrast between the chaos and the quiet is Jesus demonstrating life in the midst of so much death and brokenness. And he does so masterfully because he understands That is, through death comes life. It's through light that darkness is expelled. It is through self-giving love that the myth of redemptive violence is broken and coercion itself is destroyed. So what I thought we'd do for our prayer time today is that we would just sit a little bit in the chaos and the quiet. And I want to invite you to think through this moment, this chapter, this few hours in which Jesus enters the chaos quietly to bring about new life. So I'll guide us with a few questions, but I invite you to sit still in the chair, the walk that you're on. I want you to prayerfully consider the chaos that was swirling around Jesus. The religious struggles, the political battles and power grabs, the soldiers that were mocking and insulting him as he's humiliated. Think of the chaos that swirls around Jesus. And I want to invite you to just allow the Holy Spirit to highlight the chaos that you may be experiencing. Maybe it's work struggles, family strife, continued tension of all that 2020 is. What is the chaos that you're walking through right now? Jesus knows that. He knows that chaos. He too has felt that chaos. Sit with it just a little bit longer. And as you sit in that, know that Jesus has endured that. He has entered the chaos quietly, but believe me, he is in control. His quiet is one of absorbing the brokenness and the pain so that he can extinguish it with life. He doesn't return violence for violence. He doesn't return hate for hate. But rather, he enters into the cross, the symbol of the reality that through death comes life. Something so profound and so complex and so confounding for us, because we have been hardwired to not believe that it is through giving that we receive, that it is through laying down our life that we find life, that it is through Jesus' death comes resurrection. So as you sit in your chaos, I invite you to fix your eyes on Jesus. Because he sat absorbing the hate, the pain, the sin, all of it on the cross to shatter the old structures of brokenness, the old molds that weren't working. So we look to Jesus, the quiet Savior, who's cutting against the chaos of political and social power grabs, who's laying bare the myth of redemptive violence, who is looking at sin and forgiving it. Dead in the eyes. And we sit in that quiet, trusting Jesus. I want you just to spend a final moment in gratitude for the work of Jesus on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the overpowering of death, through entering the chaos to bring about new life. Let me finish with our prayer for today. O God, the author of peace and lover of harmony, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, and all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries through the might of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. You can now access and subscribe to Common Prayer episodes on the Google Podcast Store, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Of course, you can always check back daily right here for episodes at cpc.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.